First of all, once again, I thank you very much for coming. I was thinking like this, that after this program, which we did in a general way for all our guests, it may be a good idea to come together in a smaller room. And I do remember the last time when I visited this very hospitable house of Nandi Mukhi and Rajendranandan Prabhu, that it was a very cozy atmosphere, no? The wood. And yeah, there was a time when we had more opportunity for private meetings. I do remember when our Narayani, who is the most creative cook in the universe, as far as I can say, when she was just coming, we did meet and we went together, perhaps with another person or by ourselves, on the philosophical path in Heidelberg and talk. These were private personal moments. Or I remember when I see Narayani, when we drove with, I believe it was, yeah, His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj, and our car broke down. Then we phoned Wiesbaden, and perhaps you came and got us from the Autobahn. We were stranded on the German Autobahn. And of course, such events, adventures, and everything are very, very nice. I remember when Syamala had her two twins in. They were not yet born, but they were with her. Then she came, and I visited you at near Hannover, I think, and I read the Bhagavatam for the unborn children in the womb. Mm-hmm. These are all with Ram Gopal. I remember we were going over the Eastern Sea, the Baltic Sea, it's called, in two sailing boats, remember? And you looked like the younger brother of Klaus Störtebeker, Gödeke Michels, and we were talking about, yeah, our lives. I remember how in Kiel I knocked at a door, and this was a wrong person, and I knocked at another door. And then Uli and Ram Gopal opened the door to me when this was maybe 40 years ago. And yeah, these were all very personal meetings where we met in a different way than just than now, where I sit mostly like this, facing all of you and addressing all of you all together at the same time. I think some of you might miss these times. Others have never known other times, but some of you might miss these times. And I want to say, I also miss the times, because one aspect of us devotees in this world is that we want to be close to other devotees. We want to talk freely, privately, personally, and so on, about our experiences on the path, our doubts, our weaknesses, perhaps, and how to overcome them. Yes. So I thought, when I come to Goloka Dham, and mostly Goloka Dham, because I lived here, I don't, more than 10 years, isn't it? Maybe 15 years, no? I also don't think in years. many years now, more than 15 years, 17 years, 20 perhaps, a lifetime, in a previous life, long time, and here I feel a very special connection, maybe because also of Radha Madan Mohan, and I'm very much convinced that Radha Madan Mohan saved my life one time. So then I'm trying to have these more personal meetings, but of course we can only both give our best, and I believe there is a meeting room that is never closed, a room that is always open to us, and that is a room where we meet in Seva. It's a mystical room. It's a transcendental room. And I always feel some of us might remember the old times so much that they are reluctant, perhaps, also unwillig, sagt man in Deutsch, to try to enter that room. That room is always open. I had to learn this in relationship to Srila Prabhupada, and I do know that in my relationship with him, there is this room that never closes, that is open even day and night. Mm. But it's, as I said, it's a spiritual room, and many of us are theoretically interested in spirituality, but perhaps not deeply enough that we are willing to enter these spaces. Good. So I will try my best. I want to speak more about the compassion. Some of you might know it's my New Year's message. And I'm surprised within 24 hours this message is shared all over very vastly. I put many messages in the internet, but this was really read by many and by shared by people whom I think they would never share such a message. Yes. So. Join me. Krishna Vesaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Vinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Ashtajare Sadani Sri Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama. One more time, all of us together. Hare Krishna. Krishna, I would like to address you today with 2 points. Let me just check with Adishesh, who is in the back. Am I loud enough?
Yeah.
One of these points is relates to your association with each other, and the second point relates to your association with Krishna, your relationship with Krishna. First, one of the most remarkable impressions of my Vrindavan journey was when I went after the, or was it in between the two retreats which we annually give there, to Surabhikund to spend a few hours just with the Lord at this very, very sacred place where our obstacles, our offenses are removed from us. So after a wonderful time there, it was very so peaceful, so, you know, you look over the Kund when you sit on the opposite side of the Kund, and you look right at this old structure where Ramananda Saraswati is the caretaker, very lovely pujari he has some skin situation which makes him look very how do you say, very different from a normal human being. But he is a heart of love. And then you look further and you look at the Giriraj Govardhan. So we spent this few hours reading, meditating, praying, chanting. Even the monkeys were very kind to us. They accepted us. And when we went to go back, we had to move and leave the Kund on our right side and then go back on the Parikram mark. We saw in the dust of Vrindavan a lonely monkey. He was dying. And monkeys in Vrindavan, those who have been there, are usually seen as a disturbance. But this monkey, who was just lying there on his back with eyes rolling back, moments before his leaving the body, immediately invoke our compassion. And we stood there, chanted the mantra for him, for a few, you know, mantras. And the monkey looked back at us, and he really, at least and for me, was no longer the disturbing person. The monkey, when you come close, you have to hide your glasses so that they don't steal it. He did not look like this disturbing creature, but he looked like one of us, humans. And all this temporary role, it fell away from him. And he was just there as a creature of God, a person of God. Some of you might have seen Peter Brook's incarnation of the Mahabharata. It's a beautiful piece of art. It's 9 hours long. And at the end of his the play, you see a very amazing scene. You see Duryodhana getting up from the battlefield, hugging Bhima, his arch enemy, and you see them eating, feasting, watching a dance performance as very best friends. It is when I was with Bhakti Charu Maharaj and me, we visited Peter Brooks, the director of that play, and we asked him about the scene, and he said, "Yes, I wanted to show that only during this one life we meet each other in these complicated relationships, but then when we leave the body, we don't think of them any longer. We think of each other differently." And this is actually what I saw when I stood before the monkey. You know, I didn't think of him as a monkey, a disturbing thing. I thought of him as a creature of the Lord. And then I thought of everyone in my life. There are friendly people like you. There are neutral people. Yes, and there are also some people who consider themselves unfriendly in relationship to me. But really, in essence, all these relationships share one thing in common, that is, we are all in the same family. We are all parts of God. And when you remember that, you see your relationships differently. You see the people differently. I wanted to share this with you because you live in a community. In the community, you will find all kinds of relationships. But when you go beyond the apparent, that which is, we say in German, augenscheinlich, that which meets the I. And you go to the essence, you will find out not only are we all parts of Krishna, we are people who understand and accept this, and we worship Krishna together. I think when you come to that place in your life, it should be easy to work out any differences. I remember last time when we met here, we asked Vajendranandan to play the Gita and to play a song, and one devotee who is not living in Germany didn't like it and became totally upset. Oh no, Maya, this is not a Vaishnava bhajan, or the music is not my taste. I want cool play music, or whatever is it. And I was thinking, oh, my dear devotee, you need to learn a lot. You need to learn to not judge people because of the apparent differences in styles in music. You need to be able to see with spiritual eyes. So this is something which I think we can learn and do here in our community. And the way to do that is to look through the eyes of compassion. My dear devotees, I used to be so judgmental. You know, those who know me 40 years ago, I was impossible to deal with. I was a revolutionary, I was angry, I was young, and so on. And I had to learn a little bit. I have written something down here. There are a few things which you can, which are the benefits when you act less self-absorbed. The first benefit is it softens the heart knot of your ego. Have you ever seen this? When you come to a place where you can sincerely forgive, and not only forgive, but appreciate a person, then you get out of the straitjacket of the ego. Straitjacket in Deutsch is Zwangsjacke. Zwangsjacke, straitjacket is what would be put around people who were mentally challenged, and then they couldn't move any longer and hurt the personal, the people in who took care of them. So the ego unfortunately numbs us and puts this there. Compassion also expands your vision. It helps you to see the equality of all beings. Like when I saw that monkey in the dust, and I thought, brother monkey, you and me are related, and you are most probably more advanced than me because you can die in the dust of Vrindavan. I hope this will be granted to me also, but I don't know. Then what I have always seen, when you come to the place where you can forgive another person and you can appreciate them, you can deal with them with compassion, Krishna seems to be pleased. Krishna enters your heart and is there. And the last thing is, which I've written down, I feel when we can be compassionate to others, kind to others, forgiving and appreciating to others, our own feeling of powerlessness, helplessness, and sadness is quickly removed. I would like to give you an example. I think I gave it in my New Year's talk, but it was like this. When the war in the Ukrainian country happened, my father decided to die, and I became very sad because there was nothing I could do. I cannot go to the presidents. I cannot go to most properly the Americans who have their hands in everything, most properly, I don't even know for sure, I cannot talk, but what can I do? And I was for a long time very sad. I felt ohnmächtig. I felt like I had felt when I was a young boy and one gang of young people had spotted me and had attacked me and brought me down on my back on the ground and were just beating into my face until I fainted. I felt at that time powerless. What can I do now? And I did not know to chant at that moment. I just felt, oh no, I hope I faint very quickly, so painful. So I felt the same, I'm still feeling the same when there are things which are so unjust and so cruel. I feel it like beating on into my face. And then I said, no, we can do something. We can collect some Lakshmi. We can send it there. And even my nephew, Madhusudan, said, was inspired. He said, I can get a bus and I can drive to the border and drive people over the border who want to flee. And I felt, and we did something else, global yagya for the Ukraine. Deepak Chopra spoke on this. Deepak Chopra is known in the secular world. And he said, this is a good cause, and was there for 5 minutes. And other well-known people. And I felt, oh yes, we are doing something. We are not just helpless victims. So compassion, even if it is to small acts of compassion, will help you very much. I wanted to get to another point which I want to remind you of, your personal relationship with Krishna. This was about compassion. I think your personal relationship for Krishna, don't stop to endeavor for it. And if you have endeavored, then say to Krishna, oh Krishna, you are still not showing your mercy to me. Please give me your mercy. If you have endeavored, you have the right to complain to Krishna. There is one very nice example of this. He is a saint, very well-known saint in Vrindavan. He is no longer, he has left. It's Tinkodi Baba, no? And I want to tell a little bit about how he complained to Krishna, what Krishna did. First of all, you must know there's a verse in the Bhagavatam. I want to read it to you because I know most of you love these Sanskrit slokas. Shutasya pungsam suchira shamasya nanvanyasa suribir ityata tatat gunanu shravanam mukunda padaravindam ridayeshu yesham. Persons who hear from a spiritual master with great labor and for a long time must also hear about the character and activities of pure devotees of the Lord. Pure devotees always think within their hearts of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who awards his devotees liberation. In other words, it's not enough to just hear about who you are, or to hear about your mistakes and how you can overcome them, the anatta, the nivritti. It is important to hear about practical examples like devotees and what they realize on their path. Because such hearing, such katha, hearing about the lives of the great devotees, it will give you an idea, it will be a lighthouse, Leuchtturm, as you go over the ocean of samsara, it gives you indication. Careful here, don't go here. Careful, there, go there, you know. Here, great devotees carry Krishna in the heart. They have love in the heart, love for Krishna, something we want to have either in this life or that life or and so on. And just hearing about them is so nice. And they bestow their mercy when you hear about them. Do you know that in Braj especially, the great acharyas of the past are still present, and when devotees do serious sadhana, these great acharyas may appear before them in a white dhoti. Yes, white dhoti. Because they dress like this when they come from the other dimension to see us and meet us. There is this Tinkodi Baba, and I've made notes about him because I want to get it really nice. Tinkodi Goswami was born in a family of Goswamis, and traditionally in Bengal, the Goswami families, they maintain themselves by having many disciples who give donations. So Tinkodi Baba lived in luxury. He went everywhere where he went on a palanquin. And there was a second palanquin next to him. This, some of you will still know, Ram Govinda may know, with a hookah, you know, where you can smoke hashish. You know, it was just carried next to him. Tinkodi Goswami. You know, he lived like this until one day he had a very, very strong urge to give up this type of life. He felt like a cheetah and went to Govindakund in Vrindavan to take shelter under Manohar Baba. Wow, Manohar Baba. I can't talk about these great souls. But Manohar Baba said, it's not yet your time. You have still some old karmas to go through, you need to marry. Some of my disciples have to go through this old karma, and they do excellently or not so excellent. It is depending on them and circumstances. And so he came three times hoping that he would be accepted, but only on the third time he was accepted, and he performed nice bhajan in the various forests of Vrindavan. Soon a Brijbasi boy joined him who helped him. His name was Mathuradas. Then one day the two, Tinkodi Baba and Mathuradas, were walking about Radhakund. And then Tinkodi turns to Mathura and said, what Krishna does, Kaviraj Goswami wrote in Chaitanya Charitamrita is wrong. He said, kunda e eka boro koro snan, that means anyone who takes one bath in this kunda obtains the love for Krishna, just like Radharani has. I have taken about 50 baths in my life, and I have no love in my heart. So this is enough. Krishna's Kaviraj is a liar. I will go now to Bengal, starting with Calcutta. I will go on a big preaching campaign and say no one should go any longer to Radhakund. Those who know Radhakund know that a lot of Bengalis are coming there from everywhere in Bengal to take their bath. So Mathura said, I don't think it's good if you go, because we Brijbasis are dependent on the donations of the pilgrims, and then if no one comes, then we cannot, from where will we make our rotis? It is not nice. But Tinkodi was said, no. If you want me to not go to Calcutta, then you, my dear British Parsi boy, must pray to Krishna. Explain him the situation that I'm going to go to Calcutta and put a shame over him. So Mathura, I mean, he's my guru, and now I should pray to him, and he's doubting Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. But he prayed. So the next day, they went again on Radha Kund Parikrama. And when they were on Syamakund, at that time there were not so many buildings, they could see the Sangam. Sangam means the place between Radha Kund and Syamakund. And all of a sudden, Tinkodi Baba says, "Hey, Mathura, do you see? There's a throne with jewels, and on it is the divine cup of Radha and Krishna." "No, I don't see," said Mathura. "I see the Manipuri ladies are making an arati to Giriraj, who's on the Sangam, on the place." No, look carefully. There, next to that Giriraj, there is Radha and Krishna, and see how Krishna looks so, with his big eyes, they are rolling in delight as he looks at Radharani, and the sakis are there, they play musical instruments, and some fed fresh breezes to Radha and Krishna. And he gave a full description of the divine couple. And then he just fainted and fell into the arms of Mathura. From that day on, Tinkodi Baba was a changed person. That's when he attained his spiritual perfection, and now he was yearning to have that vision again. For days and days he couldn't eat. He only was saying Rati, Rati, and then fainting again, until one day, as he was sitting being burned in the flames of separation, he saw the atmosphere was becoming full of light, and when he opened his eyes, he saw Srimati Radharani, and around her the light of 100,000 moons, so much. And Radha said, "I'm not taking you now. You have to be in this world, and you have to speak about me. You have work to do in this world, but remember, I'm always next to your side." You might ask yourself, why is it that he had such a quick realization after he complained to Krishna? Why did Krishna immediately show him that divine darshan, which is the hope of all devotees, to see the divine couple and to taste the rasa, the transcendental ecstasy of Radha and Krishna's loving exchange, you know, to watch that and taste the ecstasy. Why so quick? You must know that Krishna has one weak spot. He is overcome with devotion. He is subjugated by the devotees, controlled by the devotees. And in that way, he is very simple in his heart. He became worried when Tinkodi Baba wanted to complain about him. And he became very worried about Tinkodi Baba, and therefore granted this to him. When did he do this? When he saw the desire in Tinkodi Baba's heart was so very, very strong. We here in the West have this problem that our desire for Krishna is very weak. Very weak. And our understanding of Radha Krishna is very theoretical. Is there anything we can do to strengthen our desire? Now, I would like to end my class by answering this question, which came to me when I was in the Govardhan. In Govardhan, and one devotee came. I was just coming from the hill, from the shade of the tree. It was becoming dark. And still remember, this devotee came on, was on a parikram of Giriraj, and he saw me coming from the forest, and he said, "Your name?" I said, "My name is the beggar, Kangal. That's my name. I did not, you know, because in Vrindavan I feel I am a beggar." And he said to me in English, it was a very nice devotee. I think he was not related to our movement. He told me he came often to the temple in Calcutta, and he said, "See, I'm doing this Govardhan Parikrama, and for me, Vrindavan is at the moment like a mirror. I see my desire is actually very weak. Is there anything you can recommend me so that my desire for Krishna is become stronger?" You know, Ram Govinda, Hare Krishna, we have your machine here. We do know that the price to attain love for Krishna, do you know the price? Eagerness, yeah, it means eagerness. I'm making this gesture. You have to pay with coins of eagerness, not with gold coins, not with diamonds, with eagerness. That has to be very strong. And I told the devotee, "My dear devotee," I said, I want to tell you something which I feel is your answer and is good for you to hear. Listen now very attentively. We should sit down, then you will listen more attentively, and then let me speak. You have asked me. I think, I told the devotee, your heart knows more than you're doing at the present moment. And I think everyone in this room is in the same situation. In your heart, my dear devotees, there are very, very subtle, very nice, pure desires for Krishna. I know this because I met you all when you were young in Krishna consciousness, and we had, not all of you, but some of you, and we had close contacts, and I could observe you as you were going closer and closer to Krishna. And I think really in your heart there's much, much more desire, knowledge, advancement than you are living by. I think you are your own enemy. Yes. You are blockading you because you don't listen to what you know already. What is your yearning? What is your desire in the heart? And if you don't listen, it will become, and don't act on it, the voice will become weaker. It will die eventually. But when you start to listen to the whisper of your soul and you act upon it, it will become stronger, stronger, and stronger, and you will come closer. I know our Ganamata, for instance, she is a devotee who lived in Berlin for a long time, and she somehow in her life had the fortune to fall in love with Radha Madan Mohan. And then at one stage, I think you knew that voice was there in the heart. I should go and try to serve. And there were many obstacles. All devotees were asking, well, is this qualification there? Is that qualification there? And so on. But somehow you had listened to that voice in the heart, which never makes a mistake. And somehow you had acted upon it and it became stronger. This is for every one of us. When we can, the English word is when we can align ourselves. The French word is aligné. When we can align ourselves with that spiritual voice of our soul, who wants freedom, who wants to meet the Supreme Lord. If we can align ourselves with this voice and not be our own obstacle any longer, then it will grow and grow and grow, and we will come closer, closer and closer. Remember when you all joined, when you gave up the material life, there was this voice, this desire of the soul, and you had acted upon it, and that brought you to a devotee. But then perhaps at one stage you stopped, and then the voice to listen, and then the voice became weaker and weaker and weaker, and you became involved in the 1,000 things which are necessary to maintain temples, to do your services and so on. Learn to listen again to this voice and act carefully, responsibly, sometimes boldly on what that voice says, and you will see it will guide you to an ecstatic life, Adishesh. You will dance like a young person. Hare Krishna. This is what I wanted to say. So I wanted to say two things. One about compassion with each other. I want to read to you a quotation. Gokrishna has it on his mobile telephone by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, just how important compassion is for Vaishnavas. A natural human sentiment. This is from Jiva Dharma. A natural human sentiment is compassion. And that compassion finds its highest expression in the works of devotees of the Lord. Now comes the sentence which might revolutionize your life. The tenderness of the heart experienced towards Krishna is known as bhakti. You know, when your heart becomes soft and it looks towards Krishna, that is bhakti. Only a tender heart, a soft heart, not a heart which is hardened by the ego, can experience bhakti. The tenderness of the heart experienced toward Krishna is known as bhakti. All other jivas are servants of Krishna. When one experiences tenderness of heart towards the jivas, this is known as daya or compassion. Therefore, compassion is included within bhakti. Interesting, no? I feel some soft feelings of love, of gratitude, something soft in relationship to Krishna. All the other jivas are servants of Krishna, parts of Krishna. Some remember, some don't remember. No, it's not. That's not your problem. So when one experiences tenderness of heart towards these living entities, it is known as daya, compassion. There is a second quotation. It is just here. This is from the journal Sajjana Toshani, where he wrote, showing compassion towards living entities is of three kinds. Display of compassion in regard to the gross body of the living entities is counted among pious activities. And then he gives examples how to give compassion to the body of the beings. Distributing free food to the hungry people, distributing free medicine to the diseased persons, distributing free water to the thirsty people. You find this a lot in India, there's these free water stands. And distributing clothes to persons who are afflicted with cold. I think he would have said also sleeping bags, no? Distributing clothes to the person who are afflicted with cold are all born from the compassion in regard to the body. Now, what do you do for the mind? Giving free education is born from the compassion in regard to the mind of the living entities. But the highest kind of compassion is in regard to the soul of the living entities. From such compassionate propensity, the eagerness for delivering the fallen souls from the miseries of material existence by awarding them the devotional service to Krishna is produced. My God, these are long sentences like spaghetti. Compassion to the soul means you become eager to somehow help them to become delivered from the pangs of material existence. That should be the motive of a preacher. He should think, how can I help soul? But he should not forget the body. Krishna. I think you all did this. You cooked prasadam like anything. You distributed the prasadam to the people who came here. Today, Narayani exhibited her compassion to me by cooking a meal which I will not forget. I will write down all the preparations and write down 2nd of January 2025, cooked by Narayani. I will not forget this. Krishna. Good. So, all of you, what is your challenge in being compassionate? I always think our project here will work very nicely if all of the members can think of being kind to each other, supportive to each other, understanding, non-judgmental to each other. And would be very, very nice. Good. Now let us see if you have any questions. Madhusudan looks in a pensive mood. Pensive heißt nachdenklich. Yeah. Yes. Trying. I think the first reaction is, whew, it's over. So, yes, so please think about the question. Yes, Narayani, yes.
Also, du hast angefangen mit diesen Geschichten von früher, wie wir da persönlich zusammen waren, und dann hast du gesagt, wir treffen uns im Seva-Raum. Also das ist der Raum, der spirituelle Raum. Und für manche ist das nur Theorie.
Ja.
Und wenn man jetzt in diesem Seva-Raum ist, also das hat jetzt mal praktisch gesehen, man macht Seva für die Deities, für den spirituellen Meister persönlich, das ist der spirituelle Raum. Ist das der, also der praktische spirituelle Raum?
Ja.
Der theoretische ist dann, wenn man nur darüber nachdenkt.
Narayani has asked a very good question. I started my lecture by recounting, also erinnern, a few personal meetings. I still remember you had always a white shirt. And I remember one picture in Syamala's apartment. It had the poem of Kali Gibram. You know, your children are not your children. They are, that I still remember. I have a very sharp memory when it comes to these things. Yeah, now this is not there, and I said we meet in the Seva room. I must tell you now something personal. And Narayani said, for most of us, this is just theory. We don't experience this. My dear devotees, listen now, please, a little. I will say something. I might have said it before to some of you. When Srila Prabhupada left the body, I felt my life was over. I couldn't eat for a whole week, and I do not know what my mental condition was. I didn't sleep, that I remember. I don't remember. I remember I could not cry. I was just numb, also so stumm. I was walking like a ghost through the rooms. Devotees later told me they were afraid for me, but they didn't know any therapeut or something. And they also, for me, my life was over because I had centered my life around Srila Prabhupada. I was not so comfortable in the movement for Krishna consciousness because of many reasons. It was not my nature to be with so many people together, and also I had friends from another class. We just had different, let us say like this. But I stayed in the movement because I was convinced of Prabhupada's genuinity, Echtheit, and integrity as a God-realized soul, as a true saint. And when he left, I didn't see a future. You could say, why didn't you go to the university, learn something and become something in the society? But Narayani, that was not an option for me because I believed in the philosophy, and I thought this is a dream. Why should I return to the dream? I better die. And maybe I meet Prabhupada later. I was not in a good space, you would say. And the days were passing, a week had passed. I think I must have started to eat at one stage. These were times, Narayani, I would sometimes eat a whole year only an apple a day. I was very different. My spiritual awakening, I'm not an awakened soul, but my spiritual path was full with austerities and thoughts, which I would now describe as immature, unripe. But what can you do? When you are young, you are immature, and but always very intense. And then I came, yeah. Then I started to eat. I must have started to eat again. And then I had this question. On the day when Prabhupada's departure was announced in the temple, Harikesh Maharaj, who was at that time our leader, had read a purport from Srila Prabhupada that said the sincere disciple of the spiritual master should lament like the queen Vaidarbhi when her husband left her. The sincere disciple should lament and cry like that, but then he should go and meet the spiritual master in his vani, in his instructions. And the bona fide disciple is never separated from his spiritual master. He said it like this. We This was the purport. It comes in the fourth canto. I forgot the chapter, but if you're interested, I can easily find it. So I remembered this, but it was a theory for me. We constantly heard the Prabhupada was traveling. There was a good lecture service. We got the lectures at that time, the tapes. There was not this internet, and we heard all this. And we heard. Our life was centered around Prabhupada. When I joined Narayani, every Saturday we read letters of Prabhupada where he instructed his disciples. That's how we learned. We read his letters and we felt his presence when we served him and followed these instructions. And then I thought, okay, let me try. And then I started to look at the instructions which I felt were for me, and I started to do them. I felt really like first day on book distribution, when you go with the book and this book here has to go into the hand of someone else who wants to buy it and read it and so on. And I felt like, how do I do this now? And I entered this connecting with Prabhupada in the spiritual way, and I met him. I had dreams of him where he guided me. Now the dreams are not so often, I must say, because I think I'm on the path where he wanted me to walk, and I'm doing it. But I also feel his presence when I do read. I see him all of a sudden before my eyes. He talks to me. He looks at me. Sometimes he's not satisfied with me. Then I shape up. Then, oh yes. I'm doing. Just a moment. I was inattentive, and it goes on. And I'm convinced that that is a genuine spiritual relationship is there. Were you ever in love, Narayani? No, don't answer this, because I think you were, but this is not for public hearing. When you are in love with someone, you think of them, and they are somehow there in your heart. I think you have seen as a mother about your children. They were maybe on school holidays. They were not with you, and they thought, hopefully everything is well. My boy is so particular. He doesn't like all the food, do you think like this? So it comes when you have this loving feeling. I think that loving feeling to our guru is better and more important than the fearful feeling. Fearful feeling is for new devotees who always do something wrong and they have not yet found their path. But it should be replaced with a loving feeling. That is important. And then you meet in that room of seva, in that room of following. It's called Vani Seva, really. Following the instructions and rendering service accordingly. Narayani, you must know, I hear and I forget. This is how we work, we humans. I see and I might remember. I do and only then I understand. It cannot be understood with the mind, and we often hesitate because we can't understand it with the mind, or our mind rebels against it, and therefore we never do it, and therefore we never understand it. Krishna. Good. Anyone? Any other question, please? I saw Siddheshwari.
I wanted to point out
Gaurahori. Good. Let's go to Gaurahori. Finally, we have some good Siddheshwari English again. Gaurahori. Sorry. Yes.
I was wondering on this point of judgmental, being judgmental, because you also mentioned in the first lecture that often we have this fear of being judged by others that is actually stopping us to be our real person. And you were touching on it in your lecture, mentioning of this equal vision, seeing persons as souls. If I follow properly, it seems to be in this point, means almost to be a pure devotee, to have such exalted vision that we can act in such a that we can see in such a way the equality of all beings. So I'm just thinking, so much is based on this false identification and this ankar. How do we work, or how do we move towards this compassion feeling and taking ourselves out of the center when we are still so much conditioned by material nature?
The only thing I do know, that the whole philosophy of bhakti, or the whole system of bhakti, is by doing bhakti in practice. It's called vaidhi sadhana. As you do it, by the power which is invested in these activities, a realization dawns in your heart. This is really the whole principle of bhakti. You act in ways that are, in a way, a little foreign for you. It's absolutely new for you, but because these activities have transcendental power, they are influencing, purifying you. And Jiva Goswami gives this famous example of the mouse who comes on the altar. And she thinks that the gimmick, which is is extinguished, it's half extinguished, is a piece of cheese, and he bites into the gimmick and the teeth get entangled, and he then takes the gimmick out, and the gimmick catches fire again, and then the mouse wants to get rid of the gimmick and extinguish the flames and offers the Naratik. And at the end, he dies. Heart failure, I think. Some say a Vishnu, a four-armed Vishnu Duta form comes out. No? There's this one scripture. It appears in various scriptures, this example. So this example wants to show that you do something even ignorantly, like the mouse, but the activity has such power. And Gaurahari, I felt this when I went, we had Christmas evening, and the devotees of Berlin do each Sunday free food for life. It is for homeless people in Berlin. Really compassionate. And when you meet our devotees in Berlin, they are just such angels. They're just such wonderful people. In our ashram, there was this discussion, should we go? And I said, no, please, I'm so tired. I just come from England, and please. And I must say, I'm not good with homeless people. I don't know. It's I think their mind is too disturbed, and I'm too sensitive, and I pick it up, and I'm not feeling happy in this. You need a strong mind, not overly sensitive mind. But finally, I said, okay, you want to go, and I can stay, of course, back in the ashram, but why not do something compassionate? Let me do. So I went, and I remember on the way, my mind told me, go back, go back. You just can ask them to bring you to a train station, and then I go back by train. And I really didn't want it, because I feared meeting these disturbed minds, you know. And but then finally it was too late, and I said, all right, then let's do it. And I remember I just acted compassionately and gave the prasadam out, and they were so wonderful, they were so nice. Then I became encouraged and unstoppable. Then we went with little bags to all the homeless people under the bridges and everywhere, and spoke nicely with them, and as nice as I could. And you know, you just have to do sometimes things, and then the power of the activities goes and lifts you up. And bhakti is like this also. And we heard, I was surprised that compassion is part of bhakti. I was surprised to hear that from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Hare Krishna, welcome, welcome. Yeah, Gaura Bhavani. Sorry, habe ich deine Hand gesehen?
Yeah, I was thinking about this quotation from the Prabhupada, which I've heard many times, that there are these two ducks, and the one is very loud, and Prabhupada asked, so who is the one? Yeah. The one who's seriously loud gets fed.
Yeah.
And so, in regards to compassion, I think I would probably want to feed the one with the low voice.
Yeah. We cannot, yes. First of all, thank you very much to ask such a question where you, I think all of us who know you know that this is a very sincere question, and it is a very personal question. It relates to your personal situation in life and the way you are. Thank you very much. It certainly moves the heart of those who know you. Yes, yes. Yeah. I understand it. Let me just think for a moment. There are some of us who are not so loud in expressing their concerns. I have seen in my life of devotional, of seeing devotees, these devotees. Gaura Bhavani, I will give you a personal answer. I know one devotee. He lives in Switzerland. And he does not, he's my disciple, he does not bring out his questions, his discomfort, his doubts, because he is more of a, I would say, an introverted person who is not comfortable in speaking about themselves. There are some people who just, it doesn't come over their lips, so to say. They are not used to do it. They are perhaps almost not able to do it because they, it's how they are. At least that's how this devotee is. And I have said with the devotee, because I noticed the silent desperation in the eyes of a devotee, in a person. You can, if you look into the eyes, you can see the silent desperation. And I said to him, would you like to speak about it? There's something burdening your heart. Would you like to open up? We can have a personal meeting where there is no one in the room. And he said, he looked at me and he said, I can't. And I understood it was not a question of not trusting me, you know, you don't want to speak to everyone. It was just not possible for the devotee to go inside, to look over the field, the inner field, the heart landscape, so to say, and to look at the burnt trees and the dry streams and so on, and then speak about it and bring it out. It was just not possible. Then I said, well, I'm going now to Kiental in 1 week. I will come back in 1 week. Let us see. Maybe you can speak then. You know, so I came back after 1 week and I said, would you like to speak now about it? The devotee said, I've never done this. How do you do this? I said, I don't really totally know what is burdening you, but why don't you speak about the pain? Start somewhere. And then the situation which brought the pain about. And we were slowly, slowly, step by step, going there. And by some questioning, we went to that, into that space of the heart, and we went to that burnt tree and to that dry river, and you know, these specific places of discomfort. And once we did this, it was a few years ago. Now the devotee can speak to me. He's still a reclusive person, and I still have to be the first one who says, I'm looking in your eyes. I see the burnt tree somewhere in the landscape of your heart. Would you like to speak about it, please? Or do we have to again do a long journey? And now it's possible. I think at Gaurava Bhavini, there are some of us like this, and this is, wie sagt man, ein Persönlichkeitsbild, it's a certain personality, but we should have some, we should try with some people and see how far we come. And after some time, I'm convinced we can do it on our own. After some time. We can have that inner dialogue. I would recommend to you a book by Robert Schwartz, where he talks about the parts of the personality. You can bring them all together on one table and say, okay, what do you have to say? What do you have to say? You know, it's a very interesting work. I can send you a photocopy of a book which Bhujan Prabhu gave it to me. I mean, not that book, but he recommended the author to me, and the book is called No Part is Bad. They are all there. They all have a good, they have all a part to play, but you need to listen to them. You need to bring them out of their closets where they're hiding. And you need to create a safe place inside of you. And I personally came in my own interest. I think you know I have an interest in psychology. I came to this method, and I often solve problems by this method alone. And sometimes I speak about the things where I need another perspective with friends. But I will send you this book. You will really like to read. It's also small, not so long. And then you can recognize your parts. You can bring them on the table. You can give them a voice and let them speak. You can hear them out, and you will find how other parts will say yes, and they will discuss, and then. But you have to learn this, especially in bhakti. You have to learn this to come out of your self-inflicted isolation and talk. This is my answer. It's a little. It was a personal question, so I have answered it a little bit in detail. If there are more things, I think it's good to discuss in person. And I can be reached on telephone. Hare Krishna. Gaura Bhavani, our Gaura Bhavani. Yes. Anyone else wishes to ask a question? Der hellwache Ram Govinda.
Hare Krishna, vielen Dank für deine Worte. Wir haben wirklich viel Wissen zugänglich. Alles ist zugänglich. Und auf der einen Seite bringt uns dazu, den Punkt praktisch zu werden, und auf der anderen Seite wirklich zu beten. Wenn man so Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, wenn man diese Gebete hört, meine Güte, also wirklich tollste Poesie. Aber wenn mein Paket ist rund, bis auf dieses Tortenstück zu beten, ich übe das, ich versuche in persönliche Beziehung zu gehen, der heilige Name, gar keine Frage, alles ist da. Aber warum, wo ist diese geistige Blockade, die uns einfach aufhält, wirklich zuzuführen? Wir machen das den ganzen Tag. Wir bringen Obeisen ist da, es ist ein Gebet, wir singen Guru Astakam und so weiter, immer alles sind voll Gebete, aber der Switch in mir, ich sag mal, mir so wirklich in diesem Gebet zu sein und nicht nur 5 Minuten oder so, sondern dass man ständig einfach in dieser Verbindung, in dieser Bhakti, in diesem Yoga sich bewegen kann. Und das, warum ist die materielle Energie so heavy, dass es einem, mir scheint es wie Berge zu überklimmen, um in dieses Gebet so zu gehen, meine persönliche Beziehung zu dir und zu Krishna weiter zu kultivieren, tiefer zu gehen. Ich habe so eine Sehne, tiefer zu gehen.
Yeah. Thank you. Ram Gopal spoke about inner barrier which keeps him from entering the depths of prayer or entering the depths of singing. You know, it's Ram Gopal. I can understand this. This time when we returned from Vrindavan, the first week I didn't notice anything because we came to London, and London means 4 lectures a day and 2,000 people sit on your head. it's just you cannot do anything else than just survive the tremendous busyness of this which the service brings. So I didn't notice so much, but when I came back to Germany, perhaps the first time in my life I could see, wow, there's really the covering of the material energy here. I really saw that. And if I compared my stay in Vrindavan to my stay and to my thing in Germany, and and it became clear to me what I once heard from one devotee. In Vrindavan, Krishna consciousness comes to you. In the West, you have to struggle to come to Krishna consciousness, you know. It is just different. Yes, in the West are a lot of distractions, and some of you like them and are dependent on them. You have made your life in such a way, but you have to ask yourself, does this bring me closer to Krishna or not? Speaking about prayers, you know, when you don't do anything, when you cannot act spontaneously, your state is described in the scripture as you are an ajata ruchi bhakta. That means a devotee whose taste is not yet born. And then to come to the jot, let me speak it in Bengali, jota ruchi bhakta, to come to that level, there are some helps that are given in the Shastras about praying. There are four steps in which you can pray. The first is you glorify Krishna. The second step is you honestly tell him your present situation, where you are, what you are, and so on. The third step is you ask him for something specific, and the fourth is you receive that in your heart. Krishna, no, I don't have that notebook with me, but I always do the first three steps. I glorify Krishna. I tell him what is the situation, where I am. And then I asked him for his blessings to move forward to the desired state. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have, where is it? Let me see if it's, it's from an analysis of the prayers of Queen Kunti. First, you praise the Lord. Then you express your own position in a humble way, where you are. Then you express gratitude to Krishna for the things he has already given to you. This is very important. I forgot this. I'm sorry. Oh, Krishna, you have given me life. Oh, Krishna, you have given me the activities of devotional service. Oh, Krishna, you have given me enough to eat. I was almost saying too much to eat. You have given me enough to eat, and so on. And then comes the request for blessings. It's good that if you acknowledge before you asked, your own that you have been already so much blessed and gifted and so on. You know, it's very nice way. You know. Wow! Sangha Mela 2023. lecture one. My God, what else is here? Mobile telephone. No, these are the things. So Ram Govinda, Ram Gopal, Ram Gopal. What will you do now? You have to first of all get this down on your mobile telephone, perhaps.
I have to open my notebook.
Yeah, notebooks or so on. Yes. You can. Yeah.
Thank you.
And then when you do these automatic things, somehow you get it. I remember when when we as children, we lived on an island and we had to learn to swim. And we had this one swimming teacher. Whew. He was a man of the island, you know, perhaps the son of a Viking. He told us, see, it was like this. There was the swimming for the older boys. They were like 9 years old, and then we younger boys, 7 years or so, we were looking how he taught the 9 years old. So they were and we were on the beach, and then they did these movements with the legs, and we coordinated. But then there was this one point, and I only saw it, and I decided to move out of the swimming class after this, where he put all the 9-year-old boys on a steak which went in the water. They were there like little frogs. My brother was amongst them. And I was looking what he was doing. And then all of a sudden he shouted, "Wow!" And then he went and took the little behinds of the little boys and just threw them in the water, one after the other. And now they had to swim. And I thought, I never will do this. This is a monster. But I got the idea. So I learned the rest by my own. I tried on my own, and one day I learned to swim. But later, my older brother told me that, yeah, he had to now come from the theory to the practice, and otherwise he would drown. I think most of other things which we learned in Krishna consciousness, we were thrown into the water. I remember my first round of Hare Krishna. I had gone to Karstadt. I bought my own beads like this from a Bastelgeschäft, of little boys that they bastel, they do something. And I've gone down one story to get a little rope, a white rope, and put the beads on the white rope. It's one Gardinenschnur. I don't know how to say it in English. And then the thing was ready. So I was then sitting. Okay, so what are the words? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I can't believe I'm doing this. Then I got up and locked the door, to be sure no one would come in. What else do we need? The words I have. Maybe a picture of Krishna. Good. Put a picture on the thing. Okay. 1, 2, go. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. I can't believe I'm doing this. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Oh, so heavy. My mouth is already dry. Let's drink something. And it was so difficult for me because I was so much in a different type of life. I remember it took 2 rounds, and then one round took half an hour, but at least I was comfortable chanting it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, I feel it. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, and so on. And now I'm doing it regularly, no problem. So So you, this is how we learn anything. So you might have to learn prayer by these four processes, no? What was the first thing? Praise Krishna, express your position, express the gratitude for the things he already gave you, and ask your request and your blessings. And then after some time, you will go natural. Thank you. So, my dear everyone, no? I think we spent enough time with words now. I see also you have come to the, we have no further questions. I will be here. There is, where, Nadia? Ja, du hast immer eine Frage. Bitte. Ja, natürlich.
I hope I can express it properly in English. Also it's also
personal. Kannst ja in Deutsch sagen.
Also es ist auch eine persönliche Frage.
Mhm.
Und zwar, du hast in deinen Lectures über Tapasya und Austerity gesprochen, dass es wichtig ist, das zu lernen und dass wir herausfinden müssen, wie viel Tapasya für uns natürlich ist, also was wir täglich langfristig aufrechterhalten können.
Mhm.
Ich habe jetzt seit April, seitdem ich das letzte Mal in Vrindavan war, einen sehr intensiven Reinigungsprozess zum Thema materielle Anhaftung an das Thema Essen, was sich durch sehr starken Durchfall ausdrückt. Also von medizinischer Seite ist alles getan, also ich habe alle möglichen Therapien, alles
versucht.
Und Krishna zeigt mir mehr und mehr, dass ich, also ich bin jetzt 54 und auch so meine gesamte körperliche Konstitution, dass ich nur noch sehr wenig Essen brauche. Also der Geist und die Sinne wollen.
Möchten mehr, ja klar.
Und natürlich fühle ich mich dann auch schwächer, wenn ich nicht, nur sehr wenig essen kann. Also während des Festivals jetzt war es sehr einfach für mich, sehr wenig zu essen, also die Gemeinschaft mit dir, die Kirtans, die Lectures, die Devotees, also diese ständig in der hochschwingenden spirituellen Atmosphäre zu sein. Und heute merke ich schon, dass es schon wieder bergab geht mit mir, also mit der Beherrschung zum Thema Essen, denn eben, ich habe das, also bei mir ist es da, wie du von deinen Worten sagtest, ich bin selber mein eigenes Hindernis bezüglich dieses Themas. Ich spüre diesen Ruf der Seele, die sagt, es ist nicht nötig, ich will wirklich nur eine liebevolle Beziehung.
Aber dann ist das die andere Seite auch da.
Die wollen halt gerne, und jetzt bin ich auch noch in einer Bewegung gelandet, wo das Thema Prasadam so eine große Rolle spielt. Und ich wusste schon, jedes Piece ist für mich, sage ich mal, schon ein rotes Tuch, wenn ich da irgendwie so. Also die Sehnsucht nach der liebevollen Verbindung zu Krishna am Herzen ist sehr, sehr, sehr stark, und ich wünsche mir das sehr und möchte auch Krishna sehr, sehr gerne die Freude machen, dass ich das schaffe, so die Sinne zu benutzen, wie es in seinem Sinne ist. Oder
aber wie, ne?
Aber es ist ein großes Obstacle für mich, es ist eine große Herausforderung für mich.
Okay. Yes. I think we can still keep attention for only this question, and then we can take things out. Then we do other things. Yeah. I think there are two ways to approach it. Maybe you are a little bit too heavy and hard on yourself, Venuya. I think if you find out what your body needs to be satisfied, then you will not go into excesses. What is it that the body needs to be satisfied? I find out sometimes devotees are just not satisfied, and then they all of a sudden come from one extreme, that is eating less, to the extreme of eating more. So I would just find out, perhaps by perhaps you know it already. If you don't know it, Ernährungswissenschaftler gibt es, die gut, you can ask them on online. They make a test and then they tell you what you need. And then when you have what you need, then you won't eat enough. And or many of these, I have a very, very enlightened is not the word, awakened doctor. They say, if you have once a week, eine Schlemmermahlzeit, that is all right. It may be necessary for mental satisfaction. So you eat healthy for the 1 week, and then comes the Sunday feast. Are you still cooking unhealthy Sunday feast? I think you will do, no, because you're the Hare Krishnas. Yes. Then you have a Schlemmerfest on Sunday. Don't exaggerate too much, but have a Schlemmerfest. Schlemmer, what do you say? Because you, for food, good food, there should be also mental satisfaction. In Ayurveda, this mental satisfaction is important because it's known when you eat and you are not satisfied in the mind, then I think that's a more human answer to your question, because you are already, I know you a little bit, you are already giving your best, and I think it will not help you if there are too hard rules now on sense control and so on. You just find out, I think you should have a natural human approach to the problem. You are not satisfied, and therefore you then go into excesses in eating. It's a so find out what you need, and eine Schlemmermahlzeit.
Then I need 1 week to recover.
No, nein, du bist doch das höchste Lebewesen, ein Devotee von Krishna. Du wirst doch nicht wie ein irgendwas essen. Nein. Du wirst schon sehen. Gut, ein paar Mal wirst du über die Stränge schlagen, aber dann merkst du auch, mein Gott, ich töte mich hier. Deswegen bin ich nicht auf dem spirituellen Weg gelandet. Nein. Ja. Sweet German language.
Ja.
Good. Should we just end this part by just singing for 5 minutes?
Yeah.
7 minutes? Yeah? Ja, Narayan, sollten wir? Gut. And Prabhu, you play excellent, but play softly, please, because we have a small room here. I think we should have a good Krishna Kirtan. Why don't you sit? Or no problem, no? God Krishna was born in Krishna consciousness, and I think since you are small, maybe how old? When did your father ask you to sing? When he was 4, he was singing already. I met him in the temple when he was singing, a small boy.
Krishna. Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So thank you all very, very much for taking time to come. I think our kind host, Nandimukhi, has an announcement for you to make. Hare Krishna.